Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, thank you very much for downloading the first episode of Ultimate Couch Fans. I'm Christian O'Connell. By morning, I do a breakfast show across the UK. By night, I am a fight fanatic. Boxing and MMA, I love these sports. I think they're the ultimate in sport. I don't think there's anyone else in sport under more pressure than when someone is locked into a cage and having to strike, kick, grapple, wrestle, and ground fight with another person in 4-ounce gloves. And I love talking about it. But often these days, their eyes will start glazing over when I start to go beyond the surface about what's going on in a fight, and they're bored. So I needed to find my own place where I could come and have very in-depth, boring conversations about fights and the craziness that goes on around them, as we've seen this weekend. So I've made my own little treehouse, which is what this is, where I can dive deeper into MMA and boxing. I always thought I'd only ever bother doing a podcast if I had something different to say than my radio show, which for God's sake is 20 hours a week. What else can I say? So I'm starting this. I wanted to make a show that was just us fans talking about the love of our sport and all things fighting. So this is Ultimate Couch Fans, show one. With me every week is another huge fight fan, fellow stand-up comedian, and a hugely talented commentator for ACB. Find out the blue corner. It's Brian Lacey.
Here I am, mate, weighing in over the weight I should be. I will let you know.
We're like two big rigs. You know, we are two big rigs. Brian and I were just saying, okay, when we're taping this, it's still a bit humid, and both of us were building up a sweat just walking to the studio to sit in a chair. And we're going to pass judgment on all the amazing, crazy fights at Bellator and UFC over the weekend. But that's what the show is. It's just two fight fans. We're not journalists, and we're not trying to be. We are going to get the facts wrong. At times, this is going to be hugely ill-informed and over-opinionated, but we are the Ultimate Couch Fans. And as we get this show up and running, hopefully, we're going to try and do some live ones. Going to have some big guests, some little guests as well. We have a schoolboy. We think he might be the world's youngest UFC fan. 14-year-old kid who's going to be on the show every week. He starts next week. Reason why he's not starting with us show one, he's doing his exams.
Sounds weird to say that, mate, doesn't it? But the Samster, we should give him a proper intro. Yeah. He's going to be joining us each week to give him that perspective. How great's that?
Yeah, well, we forget that fight fans aren't just our age. It's not just middle-aged guys. There are young teenagers now coming into this sport as well. So we'll have that as well. We're going to be taking calls over the next couple of weeks as well. But first of all, we couldn't have planned this any better for show one.
Mate, when we sat and looked at the angle we'd get for this show, so we're two comedians, we're two passionate fans, we're also slight idiots, let's be honest about that. We were thinking one of the things we will bring is that we can add humour to it. There's always news, but we can add humour to that. It's written itself this weekend, mate.
You couldn't have, honestly, if comedy writers were to write an MMA event, it would have been what's happened the last two events. But then we would have watched and gone, oh, that doesn't really happen.
Nah.
Why wouldn't an athletic commissioner remove a guy's stool when he can't stand up? Why would a fighter shit themselves in a cage? What do you mean two guys knock themselves down at the same time?
Yeah,
what? Oh, come on, Hollywood.
Too much, whatever.
But that's what happened. The craziest weekend, one of them ever. No, it's got to be the craziest week ever. Overall, I reckon two separate rival organisations, Bellator and UFC, but actually there's some crossover about both of them. There was a common thing for me. And I'm just talking about the refereeing stoppages, we'll get into that. But it felt like I was looking at the ghost of fighters past, present and future.
Oh, my
goodness.
There
were some exciting times, but for me, there was a lot of sadness as
Heartbreaking,
well.
Heartbreaking, some of those.
Yeah, I, you know, the thing about boxing and MMA, the thing they have in common is that fighters will break your heart. they honestly make you, like your favourite rock stars and stuff like that, and bands, you kind of fall in love with them. But and sometimes bands put out a bad album and stuff like that, and you go, oh, why did you do that? And it actually feels propane, but fighting, they break our hearts.
Oh, and you see,
and it actually hurts when you, like the first time Connor got beaten, I was really upset. I felt like this crazy god had got, it was I didn't want to be in the world where he was vulnerable and actually beatable. I really wanted to believe in a superhero.
This magic, this mystique that was there, and suddenly it just like, it cracked everything,
really,
didn't it?
Yeah.
Like colour drained from the universe.
It went to black and white. Yeah. It went to sepia.
I
didn't want to be in this world anymore where Matt could get beaten. So, I mean, normally if it was a proper show, we'd go to the most recent one and we'd go back to Oklahoma. But I feel like even though it was a couple of days ago, we need to deal with Bellator.
Exactly the phrase, because let's talk about the build-up going into it. They've gone to Madison Square Gardens. They're putting their first ever pay-per-view on.
Yeah.
The card, when you look at the poster, in fact...
Well, it was kind of like two events.
Yeah, totally.
Some of it was on Spike, and then it went to pay-per-view. You know, two different titles for one event.
Yeah, and also the people they had on it, where they placed the title fights, like... Bader versus Phil Davis didn't even make it onto the main card. How ridiculous. That's your light heavyweight championship belt, and it doesn't even... But that ridiculousness, that we saw what the UFC brought to Madison Square Gardens. What happened there was something magical, and there was always a slant, what will Bellator do, looking at the card and questioning certain part where people were in their careers.
And also sometimes, you know, Bellator is really, really growing, okay? Yeah. However, sometimes you feel like they're picking up random fighters, and now, well, where does that guy fit in? And although they've got some good fighters and some exciting up-and-come ones, that's not what you would pay your money for to watch. You end up watching these kind of Tito Shell Sonnen fights.
Yeah.
You know, your Fedor Emelianenko up against Mitrione, and I guess for this one, Sonnen versus Silva.
Headlining the card. Well, you've got title fights underneath it.
It's kind of like, huh? What?
But... when it unraveled,
it did unravel.
When you went through it as a journey, what a crazy event!
It felt really weird. I wish I would have been there because I bet it was a great night. You would have been looking at your mates, going, "Is this really happening?" I mean, first of all, it was great to see. Okay, let's go. I've written notes. First of all,
I've written notes, mate. Look, this is how prepared.
I don't write notes for a four-hour breakfast show, but I've got notes because there's so much to talk about.
Not just written, typed, mate.
I actually typed them up.
That's beautiful.
Goldie's back at work.
Goldie is back.
I liked it. He seemed a wee bit more relaxed.
He's never done the desk before.
No.
But it actually suited him. Sharp was excellent, I thought.
I thought Brendan Sharp was really, really good. I tell you what I did notice about the return of Mike Goldberg. He seems to have picked up a lot more office admin. I counted, two A4 ring binders. Was he doing his tax returns doing that Bader fight? Because let's be honest, it was so boring, wasn't it?
It was always going to be that.
But I thought actually he did a great job.
He did a great job. It was good to see him back. It's a good fit with Bellator as well, I think.
You realise how much, I think, in UFC, John Anik and Dominic Cruz do a really good job. I'm glad it was just two commentators rather than when they've been in three. And John Anik sometimes is trying to shout in there.
Well, he's just got to shout an advert in quickly, hasn't he? And that's it. And with three, and you hear Cormier and Rogan.
Gears of War out this weekend. You know, it's like, what? Oh, okay.
You made me jump with that, but that's exactly what happened.
It was just in a lull in action, and you're telling me about some... Metro PC. I know so much about their adverts.
It's good. It's good. It doesn't affect you at all.
I think Gobert's also, I think their commentary team is really good as well.
The commentary team worked. Jimmy Smith's amazing.
Yeah, he is.
Jimmy Smith is amazing.
Really good. He's very honest. I love the way at the end of the Ryan Bader fight, he just went in a couple of lines, nailed it. Well, that was pretty similar to the first fight. He didn't poop on it. He just knew what he was saying. That first fight was really boring.
Yeah.
And no one wanted to rewind that again.
No.
And I saw a couple of people sort of tweet me going, hey, maybe they need a third one. No, they must never fight again.
They must even be in the same state as each other.
Seriously. It was a very technical fight, but deeply boring.
Yeah. It was always going to be that, though.
Yeah.
They kind of
cancelled each other out a bit.
There was a slight... When Bader made the leap to Bellator, when he took that contract, he said one of the things was he gets paid three fights a year, no matter whether he fights three fights a year. They have to offer him that amount
of fights. I'd be well up for that deal.
That's a great deal.
So hang on a minute. So I could be a Bellator fighter and get paid not to fight?
Well, you've got to. If they offer you a contract, they don't have to pay
you
for that fight.
But what about if I've got a stitch or something and a doctor's note? I didn't want the money, but without being locked into a cage. I don't want to hurt
myself.
I'll
take it. I'll take the accolades. Yes. I'll take the cash. I won't take the punches, though. Not the punches,
no,
mate.
I'm not doing that.
Not the punches. But he said one of the things that was good about this contract is he knows what he gets paid each year. So that means with the UFC, what he said about his fighting style, it became boring because he was worried about getting the win bonus. So yeah. It makes a big difference. They do this whole thing where they say, this is your show money, this is your win money.
It seems to be a lot fairer.
Which is...
And anything else is an extra bonus.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't be classed as a bonus. This is what I'm willing to pay you to fight this person. That's what we'll do. So they add it to try and add an incentive, but it's he was saying it adds sort of degrades the performance because you're worried about that bonus. You are worried about that extra 30.
They should have only one thing on their minds, and that's doing their very best performance to beat the guy in front of them.
Totally. For the fans. Putting the show
Absolutely.
On for the fans. And he said when he stepped into Bellator, this is going to unleash me. The shackles are off.
Oh.
I can become the fighter that I know I can be. I'm not going to be thinking about
that. He should have made a note on his iPhone or on his bedside table.
Or inside his eyelids. Oh, my goodness, mate.
It was just a snooze fest. It just was. And two great fighters.
Athletically, Phil Davis is one of the most gifted specimens. He's got this ridiculous span, his huge hands.
He's a phenomenal wrestler.
And he's great. He's a nice personality. He's a good person as well. Bader is this. He's got the physique of somebody who's...
He seems to have really worked on his speed a bit. His striking's got a hell of a lot better as well.
Hell of a lot better, but combined together,
no,
it's just bad MMA maths, and it always was going to be. And we should stop talking about it because there's far more exciting stuff going on.
All right, then moving down the list, let's talk to a man whose foot turned into a sock.
Oh my God!
I've got a new bestie now in the cage, and that is Michael Chandler.
Yeah.
When you talk about what is a warrior, what's the spirit of a warrior? Someone who doesn't give up, someone who doesn't buckle. Did you see him shouting, kick it, break it. It's like
Do
Ivan
it.
Drago level. I was like, yes!
Come on!
Oh, this guy, I love this guy. But kick it, go on, hurt me.
But when we see in MMA, we see in other combat sports, big cuts. We see sometimes bones broken, that sort of stuff. That for me was one of the most squeamish things every time he went on there.
It almost looked like a special effect because he would go to he was still trying to knock Brent.
Yeah.
Is it Primus? Prius.
Let's
call him Prius.
He's the hybrid.
Let's just call him Prius. he was chasing after Prius.
Yeah.
Still trying to spark him out when he knew something was really wrong.
Yeah.
That the leads, I don't know what the technical medical term, the leads to his foot had just been severed. And he almost knocked him out.
He knocked him down, and this was, I think, one of his arguments. He knocked him down 25 seconds before the referee stopped it, on one foot.
How do you land your power and post on one foot? And any time he went to sort of post on it, it would just give way.
Oh, and the way it went under, it almost went backwards.
You know when your brain can't process it because it's not natural?
I'm squeamish right now just watching
it. There was one point where he fell down and had to post his hand on the cage.
Yeah.
And he didn't take his eyes off Prius, Brent Prius. He was just, come on. Didn't even look down as if, like, oh, I've hurt my leg, or look over the ref like, oh, I can't actually stand. He was like, Come on. At me.
Finish me now. You've got your chance. And there was a couple of times because he had lost that movement and he had a couple of spinning kicks just went past his head. And this is the other thing. So it looked awful and it was awful. I've actually seen a similar injury live. Not as bad as that. But when you see it live and you see... Because you can't stop looking at it then.
Because when
it happens once, you just end up staring at it.
It's a car crash.
It's gruesome to watch. So I can understand why the referee was concerned. However... I don't know what the rules are as far as full stop. I don't know what the rules are as far as timeouts. That shouldn't happen in an MMA fight.
No, it's terrible, isn't it? Because obviously we can all watch it go, and even though we've got a bloodlust as fight fans, there's still that line when you go, that guy can't intelligently defend himself or fight. He's lost a limb.
He's on one leg. And when he was kicking it as well.
Yeah, and then you think, well, actually, you always want to know when those two guys or two ladies go in there to fight, they've both been vetted. They're at the best of their performances that they can be.
Yeah.
When it's like that, it doesn't feel like it's a fair fight to me.
Well,
But it's a grey line, isn't it? Because you can't... What are you going to do? Any fighter now, I think I've hurt my knuckle.
Yeah.
It's sore there.
Oh, yeah, a bit sore, isn't it?
Lower, it's ticklish. You know, where do we go? And then there was a strange thing of when they did call a little timeout, they got the stool for him.
The athletic
commissioner's come out. He stands to show, no, I'm fine. Let me at him.
Cramp. He's screaming cramp.
Yes. Then they pull the stool away. He sits down. The referee looks at it like, look, he can't. Doesn't even have the stools there. That's it. I don't need any more evidence. It's over.
I mean, it's not the only weird stoppage we've had this weekend, but for Chandler, the warrior that he showed, the spirit he dug from deep within to carry on fighting.
Rematch. The moment he's healthy, he deserves to wipe that off.
He will beat Prius.
Brent Prius.
I hope he is called Prius. Is it Prius?
I think it's Brent Primus.
Primus.
It looks like. Or Primus. No, it's American. They do it Primus. It's not like Optimus Prime. But for us, I think we stick with Prius.
Prius, yeah.
That's the kind of journalistic effort you're going to get on this show.
This is the level of detail.
It's wrong, but it sounds nice. Yeah. So he's Prius.
We're sticking with it. We're sticking to our guns.
So I want to see more of Michael Chandler. It made me really think this guy's exciting. He's a proper beast. He deserves to do more.
He's been exciting for a long time. You look, I think he's got the second most wins in Bellator. His fights against Eddie Alvarez. That first fight,
this came off
the back of... Henderson fought Shogun Hua, which was in December, early December, and the night after, you were saying after that Henderson won, you think that's the best fight I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was an amazing fight.
What fight could beat that? And then the day after was the five-round war between Chandler and Alvarez, which was one of the most... And that was that woke me to what sort of spirit this guy had. His rematch with Alvarez was amazing. His fights all the way through. So he is an absolute warrior. He potentially
He's a great Bellator fighter.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's good news for them. They could literally build him up over the next year or so and to be a main card attraction.
Without a doubt.
I'd want to see more of him.
This also might perversely have given him, because that whole thing's gone viral with the stool.
He becomes a bigger name.
Forget the foot.
I think it's only good news for him.
The stool pulling away like a schoolboy trick.
Yeah,
has gone massively viral, and
it's like the Three Stooges routine. Those idiots!
But the way the
guy—what's the worst thing you can do when a guy can't stand? Just kick away his stool.
Kick away his stool. But the look the guy gave him when he realised, oh shit! There we go.
I would have run out there. That guy.
But I think perversely, it might have done Chandler some good profile.
I think so.
And I hope so. He's I've listened to his interviews before. He's good. He's a good fighter. So,
yeah, he's a very good talker.
Give us the rematch.
All right. In terms of then that he became a bigger star, someone who went in was so much hype. Been hyped by many as the greatest prospect in MMA, Aaron Pico.
Oh my God. And not unjustly either. You look at his previous records and also the training that they showed him at the Wild Cards gym.
Yep.
Amazing hands. Looks good. All the experts from all the angles.
Look who was in his corner. Bob Cook and Eddie Bravo.
Crazy Bob Cook and Eddie Bravo.
Two legends in his corner for this 20-year-old prospect, and then gets starched in 24 seconds by Zach Freeman. And should have had a Scott Coker cam who gone, his face must have just been like, huh? That what?
What?
That's my guy. That's the one we've built up.
That's the guy as well. That is.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the shine they gave him on the run-up on Media Week. You look at just all the push that was going towards him. He is set. And also the person they put in front of him.
But he was actually pretty tasty. If you look at his record, 8-2? He's knocked out quite a few people. He's not a pushover.
8-2. If you look at the record, it's like that. But he's a guy who's still part-time. He sort of does it.
I think he's the only guy on that card who still has a day job.
Yeah, and he's back at it by today. It's Tuesday today.
He came across as a really nice guy. Even in the run-up, I felt slightly sorry to him because everyone kept going, you know, you're just a stepping stone. And he never bit. He was very humble.
Yep.
Look, I'm a fighter. I'm there to fight. You don't know what's going to happen. All the pressure's on him. And that uppercut was he just saw his moment and took it good on him.
Beautifully timed. And on the other side of it, Pico just shot in badly. That was it.
What it is? You're going to chalk that up as... You know, for a 20-year-old being on a big card like that, Madison Square Garden.
Pro debut.
Yeah. But it's a testing moment from him. If he is going to go and become a great champion and he's got all the skills to do that, he needs to grow through this and learn from it.
Yeah.
And he can do that, but wow, what a massive learning curve for a 20-year-old kid. I think it would have humbled him a bit.
Absolutely. And again, perversely, I've heard a lot of fighters talk about the pressure of having that O, and I know it's gone early, but taking that away...
It goes the other way, mate. You're either never the same fighter, and if he'd have won...
Yep.
Then he's a different fighter, but yeah.
And even the finish.
You're suddenly vulnerable. That invincibility where everyone goes, you're going to be amazing. You're the greatest prospect in the world. Future champion within a year.
Yeah.
I said, you got sparked out in 24 seconds
24
and we all saw it.
Yes, but choked out by the McKenzie team. That was it.
Also, it's a guy wearing cornrows. A white guy in cornrows. It's horrific to get over that. I don't think you can ever sleep again. Look! That is a white guy with cornrows. He looked like that guy's on the beach trying to sell you watches on holiday. Why have you got cornrows? But fair play to Zach Freeman. He got it done. I really, really enjoy that. Another fight that didn't really take off, which is a real shame, was Lima versus Larkin.
Yeah, I think they were so aware of each other. Yeah. And Lima is dead. Like Larkin came in with a lot of hype behind him, coming off the back of that amazing win against Neil Magny.
Oh, yeah.
Technically, a really good fighter, a good strike force career, 2-fight win streak with the UFC coming into his Bellator, up against Douglas Lima, who people, I don't know, it might just be because he's in Bellator. People know he's a badass. People know he can fight. But he was coming in my eyes, as the underdog in this fight, despite being champion. And he showed, man. He showed that he is tough to beat. He showed that with the Paul Daly fight, he can get in a scrap if he wants. Technically against Larkin, I thought he was brilliant.
I thought he was really, really fought a smart fight. It might not have been the fight that we want to see, but it was the fight he needed to do. It wasn't a complete snooze fest.
Not at all.
And I was fascinated by it, actually.
I was drawn in. One of my favourite
fights.
It's
like two gunslingers who are a bit twitchy and just sussing each other out.
Two snipers almost. But what really impressed me with Lima wasn't just his sort of attacking prowess, because he definitely landed the shots with more damage. But the little defensive things done, the little outside leg check with his knee, just little tiny
these little
bits
tiny
of
differences. He's very, very good.
Yeah,
Larkin will come back. I think he's signed some 8-fight deal, so we will still be seeing a lot of him.
And McDonald looks next for Lima.
Not just that, I love the way that afterwards, I mean, to me, he's like the Prince of Darkness, isn't he? Rory McDonald is the Prince of Darkness. When I see him, I get a little bit scared, even though he's a long way from me. But when he went, he was underwhelmed by it. Yeah. There's no blood for you to lick off the cage or something.
That's right.
No one's lost 3 pints of blood. Of course you're underwhelmed, Rory.
Rory McDonald is the type of person where he fascinates me as a fighter, but I would not want to look on his hard drive.
No.
That is seriously, come on. What if this is... That's how cold he is. What does he need when he's got a bit of alone time?
But do you want to look on anyone's hard drive? Let's not judge. What's on your hard drive? Who knows? Okay.
Peppa Pig, mate. Peppa Pig.
Oh, you sicko. Who gets off on that? Oh, let's move on. Squeal, piggy, squeal. And I also say another really exciting prospect, James Gallagher.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
he's not short of confidence, and he just made it look easy.
I think he definitely needs a step up in opponents. Yeah. What Bellator realises, they've got an absolute golden boy. This was proved just by the way that
He's obviously friends with Connor. They train together. You see the echo of Connor.
I've interviewed him when I was at Bama, and he's got the mannerisms of the man as well. The phrases, the stature, the way he holds himself. So that's not a bad person to emulate. If at the end of my career I look back and I've only achieved what Conor's achieved, I will have failed.
Well, all fighters who go into fighting have an icon, a hero. If that's the guy in your gym, someone who's an innovator and changing the world,
that you've looked
of course
up
you look
to.
Up to him.
Gallagher was basically taken in by John Kavanagh, so he stayed at the gym. He lived at the gym when he was a very young man, coming up through his martial arts career. He's just, for me, I think Bellator know exactly what they've got on their hands, because he's a star in Ireland.
I'd love to see Bellator over in Ireland.
But they've done the Bama Bellator.
That's it. So they're going to take they're going to take the top fight or something. Will be a Bellator fight.
They will take the top 3 or 4 fights. Will be Bellator.
It's a good idea.
Piggyback
with them.
Kimmo and Ishii, which was a horrendous fight, and actually the Bama card was much better underneath it. But the one of the things that they've realised is with Gallagher is how much of a star they've got.
He's got huge potential.
Even the way that they changed the way that they were geo blocking the actual event, so only people in Ireland could watch Gallagher on YouTube. Over here in England, we couldn't. But they know what.
It's a shame, I wanted to see it.
But he was taking on Machida's brother.
Yeah.
Did you see Machida's brother having a refreshing drink before Should we talk about that?
Yeah.
Have you? Yeah. So Machida's father apparently has passed down his tradition of drinking your own warm piss. Not just any, but the first one of the morning.
Yeah.
No.
Which is always the worst one.
It's always the
it's
worst
when you start
one.
The car.
I can't even look at myself in the mirror when
it's like, you know, the kettle, if you don't rinse it out, there's all those bits in it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to drink my pee anyway, but if you are going to have some, let me have a couple to clear the tank out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you know?
Let me
clear the house first of all, you know? Flush the system. Not that the first one. Oh! Especially if you've been cutting weight and you're not eating that well. Eating well anyway. Must be just the smell of what is
awful.
That?
Awful. What is that? Yeah, forget asparagus. But anyway, so he's 20 years older than James Gallagher. So the last person he fought was... I think it was Anthony Taylor, which is a great lad, really nice lad, but just not on his level.
No.
So I think he needs to step up. And apparently the lightweight champ, is it lightweight or bantamweight? Where's he fighting at now? But he's already said, I'll take him. I'll even come to Ireland and I'll fight him in Ireland for the title.
It's a great fight. All right, let's go to the big headlines fight. Let's go to the almost double knockdown. Well, it was a knockdown. It wasn't a double knockout, but it was the freakish, surreal Mitrione and Fedor both hitting each other at the same time.
Yep.
And then going down, and then Mitrione realising, oh, he's down as well.
Yeah, both down.
Let's go.
And there's a moment where, because they were feeling each other out, and I watched it on record, okay? So I didn't watch it live. So I'd kind of seen that there wasn't that much of the card left. And I figured the Wanderlei Sonnen, it's just going to be three rounds.
We knew the no surprise, takedown.
Takedown, exactly like the Tough Fight series that happened. One swing from Wanderlei, then goes Chael, and he's on top. So that fight was what it was.
Yeah.
But the one below, so I thought, oh, this is going to finish early. And the way I thought it finished early, I thought, Fedor must catch him.
That's what I presumed.
Fedor must
catch
him.
All that experience, you know.
And the power. Even Jimmy Smith, as he came, the last thing to go is your power. Last thing to go is... And then when they both caught each other, I took a breath and then I saw Mitrione moving and I was like, oh, this is it. It's done. It's absolutely done. Amazing for Mitrione to get that win. Sad to see Fedor go out like that. But just
it was
that...
because, you know, let's not forget, right, at his prime when he was he was the greatest heavyweight. I still think he's one of the greatest heavyweights of all
he's
time.
He's one of the greatest MMA fighters of all time. Regardless of, you look at the
when
era
he was in
he
Pride,
through...
they had the best, that era of Pride, right, in the early 2000s, they had the best heavyweights.
Yeah.
Some of the best. They were beasts, just
monsters.
Animals.
Juiced and
just
how that, crazy how these, monsters.
I mean, yeah, literally monsters, big scary dudes on drugs.
Yeah.
And he was always smaller than them. He's a big dude anyway. He looks big to us.
Yeah.
But he was smaller than you. Look at like Randleman and some of those guys he would fight.
Yeah, James Thompson, people like that. Oh, no, that was his brother that fought that. But the these monsters that he took on and with the dad bod. With the dad bod, with the demeanour of someone who's popping out to get a pint of milk.
I've never seen his facial expression change. No. There should be a Fedor emoji. Because it's like a sort of giant baby head. But it doesn't change when... Lose, walk to the cage, leave the cage.
Find $1 million, lose $1 million. Yeah.
Nothing changes. And he is, for me, he's on the Mount Rushmore of MMA fighters. But in terms of heavyweights, it's between him and Cain Velasquez for me. And I love in their prime. It's a shame Cain's had all these injuries. I would have loved to have seen them fight because I think that would have been a great fight. But what's the thing? What I loved about it was the fact that, so he gets beaten. And you start, he's getting older. He is not the fighter he was. And then Chael Sonnen wins. Who does he call out? Not Mitrione, the guy who just got beaten. Yeah, okay, we get it now, Chael. What you're really in it for?
Yeah,
Chael's turned into Mr. WWE now.
He's...
The whole thing. These Brazilians are going to steal your back pocket. Yeah, we get it, mate. Okay,
thanks,
come
mate.
On. What works now with Conor is it comes from a more genuine, authentic place.
And it's
fake, Chael. We know it. Come on.
It's a shtick now, isn't it?
It is.
That's the thing. It's moved from being original and it was
and
when
Sonnen's
it happened.
Funny. He's a brilliant talker, very intelligent guy.
The Twitter feed. Did you see that? Wanderlei will spend more time, so much time on his back in this fight. He'll change his second name to Kardashian.
Yeah. It's funny.
It's funny. Good lines.
Do more of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not the whole, I'm the greatest guy in the world. I, you know, made this sport. It's like, no.
One more win for the bad guy.
I hate New York City. The crowd is like, whatever.
Oh, come on, mate.
Come on.
Come on.
So, yeah, I love the fact he goes, you know how to fight next? The guy just got beaten.
Yeah.
The tough guy. The American gangster.
Yeah,
wants to fight
right.
The guy who just got knocked out.
Yeah. Give me the guy with brain damage. I'll take him on any day of the week. That's it.
Who here's got head trauma?
Anyone.
I'm fighting him.
Oh, we've got to talk about head trauma as well. What was Tito Ortiz doing during the
oh, dear. Clearly drunk. Heckling. We do stand-up comedy. We know what heckling's like.
Oh,
there's always that guy, okay?
There's that one.
The Christmas works do. But Tito, in his shiny suit, yelling while the guy's fighting.
Yeah.
Not, come on,
no,
man.
No, mate.
Don't be doing that, Tito. You're better than that.
You are better. I think there was that little corner of celebrities and stars, and there was a wonderful moment. Mitrione won, and he came out, and Randy Couture hugged him, and Dan Henderson, the big old slap on the back and high five, and Tito's waiting for his moment. Mitrione just looks at him, touches his hand, and walks up. And you thought, that sums it up, mate.
Just like,
nah, mate.
Don't need to.
Don't need
to. I think even he would have been aware of it and thought, that's classless.
That's absolutely
We're
classless.
We're fighting in here. We've got enough to concentrate rather than you heckling.
Yeah.
If it was another, you know, just some sports jock drunk. you think, dick, get thrown out.
Yeah.
You're clearly not a fight fan. But someone like Tito, who's a legend of the sport himself.
But and with all respect in the world, because he has the era that he came through with the Chuck Liddell and the Randy Couture's, and when he was the poster boy.
Huntington Beach Bad Boy,
was
loved
amazing,
him.
Amazing. Yeah. But, and I say this with absolute respect, he's just not relevant now. No. As far as, he might be a big draw for non-mainstream fans, but he's not fighting, he's retired.
No.
He's there because he's with these wonderful athletes that pioneered the sport through their eras. Don't do that.
No.
Just enjoy the fight. Sit, unless there's something coming off the back of it.
You think over the weekend, and we'll get to BJ Penn in a moment, but over the weekend, there were a lot of exciting prospects coming through, but there was also fighters who are past their best and some way past their sell-by dates. And, you know, the Silva Sonnen fight was really boring. Silva's still got no takedown defense.
It wasn't even that interesting on the build-up. It was past its time. I wouldn't even dare to try and align it with the Manny Pacquiao Mayweather sort of missing their moment. But the moment for that to happen was way back when the heat was on in the UFC before they both got busted for TRT and other stuff like that. So not a great main event, but I've got to say I enjoyed Bellator.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Really enjoyed it. Yeah. I think it was a... It wasn't the
not what we thought it was going to be.
Not what we thought.
But
it was
I don't think
be.
Any fight fan who paid for that would have been disappointed or felt like you've been shortchanged.
No, not at all. There's plenty to talk about, and it was fun, mate. I absolutely enjoyed it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's now move on to UFC Oakland.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Homer. Where to begin in Oklahoma?
Where to begin?
All right, let's talk about the prodigy. The man that used to be the prodigy, and that was BJ Penn. I always have a special place in my heart, but that memory is beginning to fade.
Shall we talk, or should we just have like 2 or 3 minutes silence for this? Because I found it sad. First of all, this was the fight that he was supposed to return to the UFC.
They put him in against a young lion, Yair Rodriguez, who just humiliated him.
Chewed him up.
And that really was a moment where BJ could have thought, do you know what?
Yeah.
Where's this going to go against? More these young lions. Yeah. I don't want to do this anymore. Then he says, I want to carry on fighting. I'm lost when I'm not fighting. I'm healthier when I'm in fight camp. They go, all right, who can we give him? What about that dude from Germany who's got the flexibility of an ironing board? Is there any guy you've ever seen in there who's stiffer? I mean, the spinning back kick's coming.
Again.
Wunderbar. I mean, it's just, seriously, stretch, dude. Do something.
Something, my friend.
The yoga. Man.
Yoga's good.
Honestly.
At our age, we are at their
Dennis
age.
Dennis Siever, meet yoga.
Yeah, exactly.
Yoga, meet this cranky, creaking German.
Good luck to both of you.
He's
that's
like a
it.
Rusty German tank.
Oh, my goodness. And he's potentially, I think he was born in Russia, but somehow he is the most German-looking man on the planet.
He's like someone
he?
Out of a Die Hard movie.
Absolutely. He's a bad guy, isn't he?
He's a bad guy. He's got that dead-eyed stare.
That perfect bad guy. But
he was the guy who BJ was meant to beat, and he just, I found this a harder fight to watch than even Yair Rodriguez. I thought, you're just you're up and coming, you're new.
You're a beast.
You're a beast, okay?
You're the
no
new
shame
age.
In that. No shame in that. Yeah. Dennis Siever, they're kind of the contemporaries, and to be beat by someone who years ago, he'd have just wiped out.
Oh, can you imagine
knocked
the
him
amount,
out, submitted
amount
him
blood.
The first round?
Could you imagine the amount of blood that would have been on that canvas?
I was thinking last night about, you know, all the great fights that BJ Penn has given us. You think about the amazing fights with Matt Hughes, that third one when they were 1-1, BJ Penn knocks out Hughes in 21 seconds. We might have forgotten about that.
Yep.
The GSP fights.
Yeah.
You know, that was incredible. The fights with also Jens Pulver. Do you remember him from
amazing.
Way back in the day?
Amazing.
Little devil.
Little heathen.
Yeah. Amazing fights. guys. And then when you see him like
Joe Daddy Stevenson.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, Diogo Sanchez. Yeah. That what
amazing fight.
Yeah, stunning. Sean Sherry.
And then to see against Dennis Siver. I don't like seeing BJ like that.
It made me very, very sad.
I don't even have any jokes or anything sort of sarky to say about it because actually as a fight fan, but also caring about someone who, I went online to see how old he was. He's only like 38. He's a young guy.
Yeah.
You know, surely there must be a role now as a trainer or of fighters because he knows so much. His fight IQ before, just seeing him getting kicked like that
He got a black belt in 3 years and won the Worlds.
Yeah.
At black belt. And I believe in absolute as well, maybe. But just one of the fastest.
He really was the phenom.
Yeah, the phenom. That was it. And it was just sad to see. The only thing, forget jokes aside, the only thing that did make me giggle was what was he doing with his tongue on the walkout? Did you see that?
It
looked like he was like he'd come from Glastonbury.
Had he had a stopper and he wanted
MDMA
to stow or something.
I don't know. Jesus, but there was something weird going on with his mouth.
No, not just that. The trunks were inside out. His shorts. Did you see they were inside out?
I thought they looked weird, but
no,
I didn't understand why.
I kept rewinding it, and the drawstring was in the inside. So even if they are inside out, tuck the drawstring into it.
Yeah. Oh, he can't even dress himself.
Oh, come on, surely BJ. If you can't put your pants on right, don't let the old guy up there.
Oh man.
He's only 38.
If I was to put money on somebody shitting themselves in the fight, then
it would have been the old guy.
Would have been the old guy.
Put money on the old guy. Or Dennis Siver when he goes up for one of those, yet another spinning back, he just craps his pants as his body goes, no, please don't do this. But sadness for me. And also, the bit where his gum shield came out, clean that up. Someone shat on the floor of that cage. Honestly, clean that up before you put it back in BJ's mouth. I hope he's going to go and see a hygienist ASAP. That's got shat on it.
Oh, that's totally grim. Oh, sorry. Dear. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, didn't like seeing it. And I just think it's really sad. You want to know what's going on there. Why is he still fighting? It says it gives him meaning.
There's something in there mentally. But yeah. what I did see mentally was by the second round when he was on that stool, there was something in his eyes which the fight wasn't there. And I think he's got to look at himself. The people around him have got to really look. I know it's a dark thing making that step. I can't even imagine it. And he's linked
to someone else on there as well. Big Rig.
Yeah.
You failed weight at two different weight classes.
He looked like a fat middleweight. He is supposed to be a welterweight.
Yeah, that's not even his natural. I mean, he looked really jiggly in there. He just did. He did not look.
What a lovely adjective, jiggly.
He did jiggle.
Yeah. Without a doubt. And he was fighting Tim Boach, who used to be a light heavyweight. Yeah. He's dropped down to middleweight. He's from welterweight.
He's a big, strong middleweight.
And you saw that. But what is he doing?
Another one like BJ Penn. He's a star that is dimming. You know, awesome fights. Carlos Condit, Robbie Lawler,
yeah.
GSP put down the worst beatdown center.
Twice.
I know he got unlucky with the decision, but I thought he won that. But failing to make weight when you move up to middleweight,
yeah.
He looked like he'd done the bulk of his training at an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah, well, he used to own a buffet. Do you know that?
He's been eating the profits.
he had to shut the restaurant.
What? You winding me up?
No, he basically bought Big Rig Ribs. So he set up his own, like, rib shack.
You can't even see his ribs now.
You can't even see them, mate. That's it. So he'd eat there all the time, and it'd be his... But basically, he was that bad a businessman. He'd been eating there all the time, and he basically had to shut his own restaurant.
It's a shame, but again, it's so hard for fighters to know when to call it time, because what do they do? It gives them a structure in their lives, doesn't it, these people? There's something about them that has driven them to do this extreme thing, to be locked into a cage and fight. And when they don't have that in their lives, and then a lot of them, they've been wrestling since a young age, or fighting since a young age.
Competing.
Competing, that's it. It gives them something. Take that away. It's easy for us to say, oh, stop, it's embarrassing.
Mm.
But I just thought there needs to be something going on, again, like BJ, in his personal life. Is he not motivated? How can he not, if he still wants to fight, why is he not making weight?
It's one of the simplest things to fix as well. Pay a dietitian. Get yourself a
nutritionist.
Get somebody on board to handle that.
Well, it's just pride, your self-esteem. You don't want us looking at you like that, feeling sympathy for you.
It's sad because he used to have Dolce on board. So Mike Dolce said he was one of the hardest ones to work with. And then Big Rig sacked him because Dolce takes 30%.
He took his ribs away from him one day, and that was it.
You've done your last session. Don't lick your fingers.
No.
Put it down. Yes. All right. No coleslaw. Come on.
I'll finish your plate. Just go.
Come here. Go on. Out you go. Go for a run. But he had that, and he made weight every single time. Yeah. One of them was when the Nick Diaz was shouting at him when he came on the scales the second time, which was a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
But I think in all aspects of what he does. Fight style, he's not looked great. No. Outside the cage when he's doing these weird interviews,
yeah,
weird, saying weird stuff, it's not quite there. And then this proves it, missing weight and then getting knocked out by Tim Boach, which is not...
No disrespect to Tim Boach as well.
He can knock any man out. He can knock an elephant out, mate.
I mean, well, it looked like a big old elephant so they came up and hit Hendricks in the head. He set that kick up brilliantly.
Beautifully, yeah.
But I just think I don't like seeing Big Rig like that anymore. Something's going on there. It's not quite right.
Yeah, but I think when you get to the point where you have that belt around you and this is...
It needs to be a big adjustable belt. Sorry, another fat joke. There's no more now. It's not. He deserves more than me taking two shots. Okay, I literally broke into sweat just walking to the studio to sit in a chair. So he's still a legend.
We are going for ribs after this, yeah. But I think something's happened there. Either people that really focuses people and they change and this champion spirit comes within them, or... like they get complacent, and I think little bits in his life, maybe he's changed his whole story about his dad making him wrestle and do press ups and shift rocks around the yard, like this old school farming sort of stuff that they do.
He used to be so fit and so strong, and always really well prepped for fights.
Yeah,
just relentless work rate, the wrestling, the striking,
the run up to where he got the shot at the title when he knocked out Martin Campbell.
Still love watching him fight.
Unbelievable.
He just steamed through people.
This is the guy.
Yeah,
he's got one big.
He seemed invincible,
and then it's just changed. And it could be the fact that maybe, because I agree, I think he did take that decision that he lost with GSP.
I think it was unfair.
Maybe having that taken off of him has affected him. But fighting is more mental than it is physical.
And it's cruel and brutal as well. Seeing BJ and Johnny on the same fight card going through a similar kind of thing going on was really weird. Like, it was looking at two ghosts of what they were.
Actually,
that's what it is. They're not those fighters. They're never going to be like that anymore.
You can show us the highlight reel beforehand.
But they either don't want to see it or they're just...
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. Let's go on to poor Justine Kish.
I want to say this before we start. I love Justine Kish.
I want to say something as well. If I was in the cage, I'd shit myself. All right? So I think we talk about this and we never mention that moment in there again. The fact that she's owned it on...
That was beautiful. Little
she's owned
she
it
put out.
And hashtag shit happens. That takes a lot to do that. I was going to say she's trying to get in front of it, but I'm not sure that's the right choice of words.
Speaking of the right choice of words, I noted this down. So we are going to... because Justin, I absolutely love you. I apologise, but... there's just a couple of bits that led up to it. So Dominic Cruz and John Anik were commentating. They were commentating on it. And just before it happened, so the third round, they're taken down. Just before it happened, Dominic Cruz said, she just doesn't look like she has any explosions left in her.
You're kidding.
She said that.
Wow.
And then Anik said, when Felice was on top, and I'm watching this in hindsight, so I've seen everything happen on the internet, then I went back and watched the fights yesterday, and then John Anik said, Felice Herring is really empty in the tank. I had to pause.
That's
it.
Good
stop
spot.
Me laughing, but it's unfortunate. And
but you know what? She's lucky. She's a woman because you know what women are. Okay, they're supportive to each other.
Well,
there's
I didn't
a sisterhood.
See, mate. Well, I
whereas
didn't...
men, if that was you or I, whatever you do,
mate,
whatever you become a three-time different division champion, doesn't matter. You're the guy that shat in the cage. Whereas women are more supportive.
What I didn't see though, mate, is the little fairies that come and take it away. Do you know?
Whose job is that?
Which
poor guy was that?
Because
you know, did they make BJ Penn go and do it? Listen, mate. After, come on, you need to clear
come
this
on,
up.
Mate. Come on, bring the rest of your career and use that to what?
Oh, that's harsh. Come on now.
Have you got
the prodigy?
Those broken dreams in the corner. Drag
come
them
on,
out.
Yeah. You pick need, them up as well.
You won't need them anymore. But it was unfortunate. It was sad. And actually, mate, what a fight it was!
I thought it was a great,
really
fight.
Good fight.
Let's not take away from a really, really good fight.
Really good fight. And Felice Herring. I thought she looked great on the ground.
Really
Jeff Curran in the corner, obviously. And she's evolved over the last, I think, three fight win streak. She's really...
massive changes.
Really,
I love it when
good.
You see fighters doing that. Just putting it all together and getting so much better.
Oh, I follow her on Instagram. And for research
reasons.
Take
a break from all that Peppa Pig porn. Oh, no, please. I had nightmares about that. And Zach Freeman's cornrows.
But the training she puts in, like when you watch each day, she's doing it. The diet, she blogs all this stuff, and you watch the difference. And you go back through her Instagram, and you go to when she was coming out the Tough House, and there was all this celebrity around her, and all these rumors and all that sort of stuff. It's different. She has changed what she does, and you can see that the ground game was phenomenal. She was up against somebody who wasn't technically amazing, but so strong.
One of the most excitable fights on the card. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
really good. And Justine Kish will come back.
She will come back. This is the argument for that 125 division. Yeah. Justine Kish drops down a huge amount of weight to make that, and it did make it an exciting fight.
It did.
But I think that 125-pound division, when it drops in there, she'll fit nicely into that. And I love her story as well, coming back from growing up in an orphanage, all that sort of stuff. That for me is...
Do you know
where...
what the UFC's really bad at? Is selling those stories better. Because that's...
They used to be amazing at it, if you remember.
They used to put them together really well. And just as much as you're not just drawn to the fight, you're drawn to the people involved.
Yeah.
You know, and I like knowing the stories. I want to know a bit more about them, what they've come from. We all know the Conor McGregor story. It's part of, you know, and that I knew about it, but I don't think they never really mention it. And I think it helps new fans coming in who are like, oh, God, this seems really violent. And then when you know a bit more about it, you're like, oh, right, oh, wow.
And okay. That journey, that whole journey.
Yeah.
Because moments like that in your life, or huge periods of that in your life, that traumatic stuff that you have to go through, martial arts is so good at getting people through
that. For young fans and young kids as well, about overcoming adversity, do you know what they need to do?
What?
For some of these sort of, I love UFC countdowns. They're like Oscar standard documentaries.
Yeah.
There's the Bobby Knuckles one that starts this weekend. Seriously, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think in that, maybe they need to do those. You know, sometimes in Crime Watch, you get those shabby reconstructions.
Oh, I love it.
Where they have people that actors that look a bit like you, but not quite, unless you squint. They need to do that for the backstory. Seriously, put that up on Fight Pass, Dana. You can have that.
Come on,
that.
You can do it,
backstory
mate.
Backstory of the week.
Backstory of the week. And just some cheap dream sequence dropping back. That's it.
Yeah, it would
work.
I think that's it. All right, let's go on to... Michael Chiesa and Jason Lee finally fighting, and Yamazaki. I mean, this was just. It's hard, isn't it? Because I guess it's like the same with Michael Chandler. When does the referee step in and show a bit of safety and concern for a fighter's health? And I watched it back so many times, Michael Chiesa. He's in that. It's a body triangle. It's in deep. It's only a matter of seconds before he goes to sleep.
Yeah.
But he doesn't tap.
And this is where it is different to that sort of injury with a foot or a break or a cut, because and Yamazaki should know, he's a BJJ black belt.
Yeah, he's not an amateur.
There are ways of checking that as a referee. What you should do is it was deep. It was deep. It did look like he sort of glazed a bit before he's fighting the choke, and then he glazed, and that's it when Yamazaki.
But two things, right? We've seen fighters who've been in deep.
Justin.
Yeah. Same card.
Justin Kish. Yeah, came out of that.
And that was in deep.
That was.
I thought that was it.
That was
no way. Over.
There was no way. That's another reason I love you, Justine.
Yeah, to come out of someone like that. But Jason Lee, I thought, was fun. He looks amazing.
He looks amazing.
His positional awareness, and that was in deep. I don't think Chiesa gets out of it.
He doesn't get out.
Another couple of seconds. However, that's the way the fight goes.
That's it. And he should be given the chance to go out on a shield or tap. Yeah. And there are ways you check.
The referee can't go, he's looking a bit shaky there.
But you can check. Like, if you watch another referee, you watch your Big Johns or your Herb.
Some of them put up the thumb, don't they? To see
thumb,
have they
or
got
they
enough.
Just check the arm. Is there any resistance? If there's not, they stop it. None of us, absolutely none of us, want to see a fighter. If it's punches, we don't want to see him take extra punches.
No. But we're not talking about that.
We're not talking about that.
And that, Brian, the moment he says, no, it's over. He leaps up on his feet. When they're out, they're down.
Yeah,
they're
gone.
And they're like massaging the chest to get the blood
toes
going again.
Toes are out. And
it's horrible. It's
curled.
Not nice. However, he leaps up.
Yeah.
He chases after Yamazaki, saying, look, come on.
Yeah, the way you can judge it as well is not the fan response. Look at the other athletes' response on Twitter, on Facebook, on social media.
Yeah, they will go, no tap.
No tap.
It was unanimous.
There's ways of checking it. There's ways you can actually check if the fighter is still conscious.
Safely.
And there's also, it's a choke. It's not punches. And this, it sounds weird when people don't really understand how jiu-jitsu works. If it's a wind choke, it's more dangerous. This was a blood choke. So this is a blood choke. So actually, you'd never want to see a fighter taking too much damage. But that is actually pretty. That's one of the nicest ways you can go out. There's no fighting it. There's no fighting a choke like that if it is in deep.
Nicest ways you can go out.
It is.
You're right. What kind of way to help someone out of a fight than choking them unconscious?
We're learning a lot about ways. Me. I like Peppa Pig porn, Justine Kish
shitting
herself.
And you like being choked out.
And if you can choke me
kindness.
Out at the same time, this is beautiful. Yeah, that's the way it goes.
But I know what you mean. There are very there are a lot of safety steps that go in place to take the fighters that anything really bad happens when it looks like they're going unconscious. And I thought it was normally he's been accused, Mario, of going too late.
Yes.
So then you see Dana just has a massive go at him.
Did you see him call him Mario? What was it? So he's Mario Yamazaki called him Mario. Oh, what's it? What's the other awful referee? The one.
Oh my God.
Oh, come on. The one that held Brock Lesnar get his knee nearly ripped off by Frank Mir.
Oh, that was horrible.
That was horrible. But basically, anyway, so Dana came out and just absolutely berated. And do you know what? Quite rightly so, I think, as well. It's not an easy job being a referee.
No, but I wouldn't want to do it.
In that position, you're not watching somebody take punches.
No.
You are also a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt.
Yeah.
You should
know what to look for, what the signs are and what the checks are as well.
Without a doubt. And I think Chiesa would have gone out. I think he would have gone
out. I think another couple of seconds for sure, but that's how it ends. That's how we know.
That's the last stain on it. What I will say is, so the Motown Phenom did look amazing.
He looked great. Amazing. I said earlier, amazing positional awareness. When he got on his back and locked in that body triangle, that's hard work.
Badass black
belt. He's another great grappler and submission artist. So when he had him locked up like that and he was just not letting him out of it, he didn't panic. How many fights you've seen where they get like a body triangle and then they give up after a while, think, I can't snake it under. There's nothing here.
Switch to the other side.
He just waited it out. I'll tell you what, he looked really, really good. And what I like about him is he's the new John Jones.
Listen, you said what I like about him. My problem is I can't find anything to like about him
outside. He's John Jones to me.
His interview, so his first appearance on the MMA Hour, he just spent 15 minutes having a go at Ariel because he hadn't been on the MMA Hour before. The interview with Tony Ferguson afterwards as well. So I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't like that. I love Tony Ferguson.
Tony Ferguson's great.
And he's just a nice guy. And
he's a badass and he's earned his place. The reason he's on that panel is he's earned his place there. Yeah. And this Motown. And so I struggle with him outside the cage. I cannot argue about his skills.
There's nothing likeable about outside of it.
No.
He reminds me, there's a bit of John Jones about him.
Yeah.
But you know what I think a lot of this is now? I think it's the whole Conor thing. There's a lot of these younger fighters now that have seen like Conor be Lippy and Gobby.
It's the new era. That's the way they're trying to get their goals.
Big stars it. And actually being bland, being nice and thanking everyone. They see DC, who does that, who's a nice, likable guy, but then gets flipping booed for no reason.
Frankie Edgar. There you go. There's the,
and
yeah, yeah,
these guys are being leaped over for fights.
Yeah.
And how the modern UFC is, since the new owners are wanting these bigger kind of fights of Gobby fighters selling pay-per-views and characters, you can see how they think, oh, I need to do that.
Yeah,
and
make noise. What's it? That squeaky wheel gets the grease. That whole thing. That whole line. It's changing. But Chiesa is decent, but I think he's got to go up a level. The Phenom, apparently he's got the longest win streak in that division. But
he's giving me a lot of trouble in that division as well.
Do you know what the fight that I actually saw someone call him out with, James Vick?
Oh, I'd love to see that.
That is a great fight.
We'll see how good he really is against
him. Really good, because James Vick as well has come into his own, and I rate him as a fighter, and I just think he's awkward, his length, his skills, his boxing. So I'd like that fight next for him. But
the only thing I want to... The big unanswered question for me at the end of that fight as well was, how is Chiesa's mum? You know, we still don't know about his mum, do we? Do you remember that was the whole thing?
That was it. He spoke to her at the end.
Did they?
They spoke to her at the end, and Chiesa sort of said, love your mum, did that nice thing. But that was the other side of it, mate. First of all, he's wearing a shirt wide open at a press. But everyone else is in suits and boots. Yeah. And he's got this bandana like a rope round his head, and he just looks ridiculous. And
you sound like the Daily Mail. He had a this street punk had a bandana on and a wide open shirt. He should have been in a three piece Savile Row suit. Listen to you.
Oh mate,
you changed there. He had an open shirt. Oh, I bet he's a commie sympathiser. But he knows Jeremy Corbyn as well. Probably at Glastonbury as well after the fight.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, they need to be in a dicky bow tie.
But the mum thing, just dragging his mum into it. Because Chiesa's story started with the loss of his dad. And then for that to come round to...
Yeah.
Do you want to know one of the funniest and saddest things I know about that
first
Chiesa when he won the Tough series? So he went through this in Tough.
He was great in it as well.
Amazing. He basically did the fight to get in the house. And then while he was in the house, he got a phone call course, saying his dad was going to pass away. He went home. He was with him while he passed. Then came back and decided to stay on the series. It was amazing through that series.
Yeah, he was.
Absolutely, yep. Like brutal. And you rooted for him. The same again when you knew the story, when you saw the emotions in
you
it.
You saw that this was a man of character, not just a fighter.
And it was the beautiful ending. So he gets right the way to the end and he wins this thing, this life-changing contract. I've got goosebumps thinking about it.
It was a real moment.
Absolutely beautiful moment, like a once-in-a-lifetime moment. So he's known for his big bushy beard and his scraggy hair. And so he's,
he looks like he lives in a hedge.
He looks like...
the son of cat weasel.
That's right. So he wins this amazing thing, the biggest moment of his life, all the adversity he's gone through. And so when he went back to his hotel room, he said, right, this is my journey. And a lot of fighters do this, like Big Rig does this. He grows a beard during the camp and he shaves it off. So he went back to his hotel room, shaved his beard off, went out to the after party and no one could recognise him.
Oh, don't. That's heartbreaking.
No one.
You think he went to a joke shop and just then brought a stick-on beard to get that back? That's heartbreaking.
So he basically went round. It's the guy that did it.
Oh, come on, mate.
No one believed that he was Michael Chiesa because
he's son of cat weasel. Get him here.
Oh, mate, exactly.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Isn't that sad? But you could hear it because he did an interview afterwards. He said his one regret from the whole thing was shaving his beard because he never got to enjoy the moment where he was the man. So he'd walk into clubs thinking, and then nobody even looked twice, mate. That's it.
I think there'll probably be a rematch.
December, they're talking about that. And this was another thing. A couple of journalists bounced this around. Maybe make that like a lightweight card. Habib versus Ferguson.
Oh,
then you've got you've obviously got this
great
rematch.
Idea.
And then they said one other that would be a great one. Oh, yeah, Alvarez versus Poirier. Put that back on the card.
Yep.
Make it like an exhibition for that division.
That's a great idea.
What a stunning idea.
Yeah, really good idea. Right, that is us for episode one. I hope you liked it. There's just a couple of basic things we really need you to do to keep the show up and running and pay for the lights is subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, rate it as well. That will really, really help us. This is episode one. Let us know what you think. If you want to tweet us, you know where to find us. We are back next week. Goodness knows what will have happened in the next 7 days. Thank you very much, though, for supporting the show and downloading the first episode. We appreciate it. It'll be interesting to see what we can do over the next couple of weeks on the show. But I really enjoyed episode one. We will return next week. Thanks for downloading. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.